Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Chavarim, shalom. So we've fulfilled the Torah reading, as well as the Haftarah, the prophet's reading, as well as the Brit Chadasha here, picking up with the fourth book of Moses. So here, get ready for the reasonment, to go to some reasonment right here. Here we're in the fourth book of the Torah, fourth of the five books right here. So here, first day service, here the Sabbath seal. Sabbath seal psalm, according to the tribe, is Psalm 144. Here on beautiful eyes, double Y.
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Glory to the Most High Jah, Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords, conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of God, light of the world, is these Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie. Protect my son David as he travel this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men who surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with understanding and patience. remind the critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence. Selah.
Good word right there, words of thy mouth, the meditation of thy heart be acceptable. We learn a lesson here in the fourth book, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. Midbar comes from the root dabar, to speak, and dabar, words. Here, in this wilderness, Torah reading and feeding right here, written for thy admonition, direction, instructions. Any fool can learn by his own mistakes, but a wise person can learn by the mistakes of others. So let's learn from the Israelites in the wilderness, their mistakes, so we can enter in right here, and try through this wilderness, even this wilderness of the West, of North America, this wilderness of Babylon, to the Zion.
Sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong. Shabbat.
The fourth book of Moses, called Numbers, chapter 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armor. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his father. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. Of the tribe of Reuben, Elizur the son of Shedir, of Simeon, Shelumiel the son of Zurishaddai, of Judah, Nashon the son of Aminadab, of Issachar, Nethaneel the son of Zuar, of Zebulun, Eliab the son of Helon, of the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama the son of Ammihud, of Manasseh, Gamaliel the son of Pedazah, of Benjamin, Abidan the son of Gideoni, of Dan, Ahiezer the son of Amishaddai, of Asher, Pagiel, the son of Ochran, of Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Buel, of Naphtali, Ahira, the son of Enan. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, by their polls. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. Of the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, those that were numbered of them, according to the number of the names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. Of the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Gad, were 45,650. Of the children of Judah, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Judah, were 314,600. Of the children of Issachar, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Issachar, were 54,400. Of the children of Zebulun, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,400. Of the children of Joseph, namely of the children of Ephraim, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500. Of the children of Manasseh, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200. Of the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Benjamin, were 35,400. Of the children of Dan, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Dan, were 62,700. Of the children of Asher, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Asher, were 41,500. Of the children of Naphtali, throughout their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the numbers of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Naphtali, were 53,400. These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel, being 12 men. Each one was for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel, even all they that were numbered, were 603,550. But the Levites after the tribe of their fathers were not numbered among them. For the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle, and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they. 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 So did they.
The book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. Numbers. What about the numbers aspect? From the English, it's called the book of Numbers from the Greek, you know? But in the Hebrew, it's called In the Wilderness. So we're going to touch on these numbers and also the science of the numbers that are found here in the book of Numbers. These first two chapters here go through a whole list of numbers that have very interesting scientific real-world applications. We're going to pick up on that. Stay tuned, stay tuned. In the As Above, So Below audible. Chapter 2.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nahshon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. And his host, and those that were numbered of them, were 64,600. And those that do pitch next unto him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nethaneel, the son of Zuar, shall be captain of the children of Issachar. And his host, and those that were numbered thereof, were 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun, and Eliab the son of Helon shall be captain of the children of Zebulun. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 57,400. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000 and 80,000 and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben, according to their armies. And the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Elizur, the son of Shedir. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 46,500. And those which pitched by him shall be the tribe of Simeon. And the captain of the children of Simeon shall be Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 59,300. Then the tribe of Gad. And the captain of the sons of Gad shall be Eliasaph, the son of Reuel. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 45,650. All that were numbered in the camp of Reuben were 100,000 and 51,450 throughout their army. And they shall set forth in the second rank. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place by their standard. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim, according to their armies. And the captain of the sons of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of Amihud. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 40,500. And by him shall be the tribe of Manasseh. And the captain of the children of Manasseh shall be Gamaliel, the son of Pedazah. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 32,200. Then the tribe of Benjamin. And the captain of the sons of Benjamin shall be Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And his host of those that were numbered of them were 35,400. All that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 100,000 and 8,000 and 100 throughout their armies. And they shall go forward in the third rank. The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies. And the captain of the children of Dan shall be Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. His host and those that were numbered of them were 62,700. And those that encamped by him shall be the tribe of Asher. And the captain of the children of Asher shall be Pagiel, the son of Ochran. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 41,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali. And the captain of the children of Naphtali shall be Ahira, the son of Enan. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 53,400. All they that were numbered in the camp of Dan were 100,000 and 57,600. They shall go hindmost with their standards. These are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camps throughout their host were 600,000 and 3,550. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standard, and so they set forward, every one after their families, according to the house of their fathers.
Yes, 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 yes. He who has wisdom, let him count. Let him be an original computer. Let him count, computate, calculate the number. Yes, yes. So here in the book of Numbers, we have math and science right here. But first, let's go over an overview here of this fourth book, the beginning of the fourth book, known in the English from the Greek as Numbers, because of the theme of the counting. And in the Hebrew, known as Bamidbar. So let's get some basic foundation here, synopsis, an overview right here, here, here.
Solomon Mal, Arsu, Befit, Bonet,
these are also the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
Discipleship Radio.
In the street, they call it.
Discipleship Radio.
Sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. Shabbat strong.
What Jah has done for I said I'm born to testify. What Jah has done for I.
So here for this sabbatical study, Rastafari Shabbat Strong. We're in the fourth, beginning the fourth book, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. In the Hebrew, right, Bamidbar, some and none says Bamidbar. Actually, it's pointed as Bamidbar, in the wilderness, wilderness, here. So pick up with Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, to Numbers chapter 4, verse 20. So here's just an overview right here. I'm going to ride up with today's daily psalm, Psalm 57. I'm going to first ride up with the Amharic. We don't have anything already recorded, so we're going to go live, you know, from the Metz Kedus, from the Book of the Seven Seals, Authorized, Revised, Amharic Bible, with Psalm 57. Just a note to the Chabarim, to disciples, to the fellows. We had Psalm 58 in the previous Shabua. These psalms here are very much connected. Some might call them the persecution psalms. It's diffidence, confidence in danger amongst cruel enemies. So here, picking up with the sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, an overview right here. Here we have the book that's called in the English translation, the Book of Numbers. It begins precisely, Bamidbar begins precisely where the Book of Exodus, where Shemot left off. So book 4 begins where book 2 had left off, with the glory of Yahweh HaKadosh, Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, hovering, His glory, His Kabod, hovering over the tabernacle, over the Mishkan, as the Bnei Yisrael, as the sons of Israel, the Israelites encamped at Sinai, even at the foot of Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. On the first day of the 13th month, following the exodus from Mitzrayim, from the Hetkapetah, from Egypt, exactly 30 days after the tabernacle was first consecrated, after it was erected, after the tent was pitched, and after it was set apart, consecrated, Ha'el, the Almighty, commanded Moses to take a census of all the Israelite males, of all the Bnei Yisrael, the males, the Zakars, the males, over 20 years of age, who could bear arms. Now, note this here, Hebraically, this is all part of the inheritance. In other words, a landlord might own a piece of land, might have told the previous tenants that you got to go,
right? Maybe they don't want to go. Maybe the landlord can remove them, him or themselves. Or when they rent out the property to new tenants, that now responsibility is also part of their tenancy. So the same is with Yisrael. Very interesting when we look at the Hebrew words for inherit. Right? Going to do a study on that. But here, Ha'ilahim, the Elohim Yahweh, commanded Moses to take a census of all the Israelite males, the sons, the mandem, all the males over 20 years of age who would bear arms. This is a phrase that comes through in the translation, go forth to war in Yisrael. So Moshe and the heads, the Roshim, the Rasses, the Rosh in the Hebrew, Ris in the Gutis in the Amharic, Ras, very same Afro-Semitic root word. So the Roshim, the heads, the Rasses, the Roshim and Moses, the head of each of the tribes, the Rasses, the head of each of the tribes, they recorded the results. And the results was the number 603,550 mandem, men, 20 years of age and over, who would bear arms in all. Now this number did not, the key here, did not include Ha-Luim, did not include the Levites. However, since they were designated to take care of Ha-Mishkan, of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the dwelling place, and its furnishing during the journey, during the tribes and the journeys. Now Ha'el, the Almighty, gave instructions on how the B'nai Yisrael, the Israelite camp, how the camp was to be arranged, how it was to be organized and arranged. The tabernacle, Ha-Mishkan, the dwelling place, the sanctuary, would occupy the central location. It's like when I and I say groundation, foundation in the holy place. The tabernacle, Ha-Mishkan, would occupy the central location with three clans, the three clans of Ha-Luim, of the Levites, the Lewawion, surrounding it on the north, on the south, and on the west. Moshe with Aharon, Moses and Aaron's tents were placed before the entrance, which was on the east side. Now, the 12 other tribes, right, they were divided into four groups of three. Now, take note of the numbering. Remember, there's 12 tribes, right? But now we have the Levites are not included in the number, but still we are counting 12 tribes. Do the math. So the 12 other tribes were divided into four groups of three, each of which had its own flag, which is its banner, its standard. Each one shall pitch, according to King Jamesian English, by its own standard. That's speaking of the flag. So each, once again, the 12 other tribes were divided into four groups of three, and each of them would have their own flag, as well as their own tribal leader's tent. All of the tents of the B'nai Yisrael, of the Israelites, were to face, point two, and were to face Ha-Mishkan, was to face the tabernacle, the holy place, as Kedus Estefanos, St. Stephen calls it in Acts of the Apostle, the church, the Hebrew church. The church in the wilderness is the tabernacle. So all the tents of the children of Israel were to face the tabernacle on every side. This camp formation was to be strictly maintained. Strict maintenance to this order. So you talk about organization. Well, this is the beginning of the real organized nation. This camp formation was to be strictly maintained while traveling and while trotting throughout the desert, throughout the wilderness. Now, a general census of the Levites, of Halloween, the tribe of the Lewawian, the Levites, was then performed, a general census. Now, originally, all firstborn sons of Israel, take note, originally, say in the beginning, originally all the firstborn sons of Israel, the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, were to serve as their family's priests. Did you know that originally all of the firstborn sons of Yisrael were to serve as their family's priests, their family's Kohen Kahin? But because of the sin, the ukkari, right, the chatat, the chet, the ukkari of the molten calf, the egel maseka, the molten calf, falsely called the golden calf, scripture calls it the molten calf, the egel, the calf, maseka, which was molten. So because of the ukkari, the sin, the fornication, the falling short, the missing the mark of the molten calf, this privilege, this ancient privilege that even other nations still practice at that particular time, this privilege was revoked. Once again, originally all of the firstborn B'nai Yisrael, sons of Israel, were to serve as their family's priests. See, I'm emphasizing this point because in the Hebrew and Yehudi and Israelite context, this now makes sense truly according to the foundation in the holy place of what we have in the Brit Chadasha, what we have in the New Testament, particularly in the Epistle to the Hebrews, what is bringing out that right, and even what St. Peter, what Peter speaks about, right, becoming that nation of the priesthood again, that right of priesthood, that kingdom of the priesthood, once again returning with the advent of the Moshiach, Yeshua, Yeshua HaNotri, or according to Ethiopic Enoch, the book of Enoch, the Messiah in the first advent, the Messiah, the son of the woman, the Messiah of the parables, of the proverbs, the Messiah of the allegories. So originally all the firstborn sons of Yisrael were to serve as their family's Kahin, their family's Kohen, their family's priest. But because of the ukkari, the sin of the molten calf, falsely called golden calf, this privilege was revoked. And Halloween, the Levites, the Lewawian, who did not participate in that sin, in that ukkari, were chosen instead. So this is how the tribe of Levi exclusively maintains the sanctuary. Not all of the Levites are priests, but all of the priests are Levites. And this is the reason right here. So, Hailahim, Yahweh, he who be instructed Moses, Moshe, to count all of the male Levites over the age of 1 month, over the age of one moon. What was the result? The result was fairly even, 22,000. 22,000, 22,000, 22,000. Moshe then counted all the firstborn B'nai Yisrael, all of the firstborn sons of Israel. And what did he discover? He discovered that there were 22,273. So get the math here, even in this book called Numbers. So we had, of the Levites, all the male Levites that were over the age of 1 month, the result was 22,000. Then in counting all the firstborn sons of Yisrael, there was 22,273. Therefore, do the math. There were 273 more firstborn B'nai Yisrael, sons of Israel, than male Israelites, the male Levites. Again, there were 273 more firstborn sons of Israel, B'nai Yisrael, than there were male Levites to represent them. So remember, in connecting what originally it was with the sons of Israel that were firstborn, they would serve as a family priest, then that right being revoked because of what happened with the sin of the molten calf, also with the breaking of the covenant. They actually broke the covenant at that time, and then when Moshe went back up, it was renewed to them, right, because of Moshe's advocacy. But now in setting up the camp, it's now the Levites that have the complete function of the holy place, and it is the descendants of Aaron, who is also of the tribe of Levi, but his sons, who would be the Kohanim. So therefore, when any son of Yisrael, any Israelite would offer, they could not offer any sacrifice without going through the properly appointed ministers of the holy place for the covenant-keeping Israelites, and that would be the Levites. But how is this to be worked out? It's worked out right here with the census and with the 273 difference in the number of firstborn Israelites to the male Levites to represent them. Those who lacked a corresponding Levite, and this was determined by lot, those who lacked a corresponding Levite had to pay a 5-shekel ransom. We could call it a fine, a 5-shekel ransom. For what purpose? To redeem themselves, because they did not have a representative at the altar, and they could not go to the altar. Even as Israelite, firstborn sons of Israel, none could go to the altar but the Kohanim, who are Levites, and the Levites who serve in the tabernacle. So with those Israelites, the 273 that was more so, they needed a representative. Therefore, they had to pay the 5 shekel, right, the 5 silver currency ransom for the reason of redeeming themselves. So here we understand the principle of redeeming is buying back, purchasing back. And we also understand that one could be redeemed by someone else, a kinsman, even a kinsman redeemer, or one could, according to the principle here, redeem themselves. So based on the lot that was drawn to find out, well, who amongst the sons of Israel would be the 273, and they would pay the 5-shekel ransom, the fine, and therefore redeem themselves. Within the tribe of Levi, in the tribe of Levi, there were 3 separate family clans to be counted. In the tribe of Levi, there were 3 separate family clans. Now, sometimes the word for clan is used as mispaka. You might hear ones use that term mispaka, or in a more, you know, enunciation, mispaka, 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 or some will say mispaka. Mispaka. A mispaka is a family, but it's like the family circle of relations, almost like the extended ones, the ones who are related, right? But then we have the Beit Av. The Beit Av is the more proper family, and Beit Av, Beit means house of the father. So in the Hebraic sense, a father, the father figure is important in the context of what is a family. But then you have the mispaka. Right? So, for example, a man may have his primary wife, but he may also have had other women. So the primary wife is part of that Beit Av, but the other relations and children are part of that family circle, which is often referred to nowadays as the family clan. These are considered to be family, and they're part of the family circle. So within the tribe of Levi, right, there were 3 separate family clans. And this was based on the lineage of Levi's 3 sons. Who was Levi's 3 sons? The patriarch Levi, Levi. His 3 sons were Gershon, was Kohath, and was Merari. His 3 sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Each of these clans was assigned specific duties. Each of them had specific duties. It wasn't up to them to choose what they wanted to do. No, they had specifically assigned duties to help and to assist HaKohanim, the priests, namely Aaron and Benaiah and his sons, Benav, to do the work of HaMishkan, to do the work of the tabernacle, to do the work of the Hebrew church in the wilderness. Now, the clan of Gershon was responsible for the woven materials of the tabernacle. That means that when the tabernacle was ready to move, when Jehovah took the cloud off of the tabernacle, it was a signal to the whole camp that it's time to get ready to move. Therefore, the clan of Gershon, their responsibility in the tabernacle was the woven, all the materials that was woven. Next, we have the clan of Merari. The clan of Merari, what do? They handle the wooden framework. All of the wooden framework of the sanctuary of the tabernacle in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness, Merari handled, as well as including the courtyard and its sockets. Then we have the clan of Kohath. The clan of Kohath was responsible for carrying the sacred furnishings themselves. The clan of Kohath for carrying the sacred furnishings themselves, and this includes, right, but not limited to, the Ark of the Covenant. Now note this, that Aaron Ubanil and his Banav, his sons, namely at this time Eleazar and Yitamar, because we know the other two sons got a burn notice, that was Nadab and Abihu, when they went to offer the Ashens, right, without instruction. Right, so now Aaron and his two sons, they were a part of the Kohath. They were part of the Kohath clan, though they alone were separated for the special service, namely the special service of the Kohuna, the priesthood. Now the Kohathites, they were warned. The Kohathites, remember the Kohathites, now they have charge of all of the sacred, you know, the sacred items, you know, the furnishings, including the ark itself. The Kohathites were warned not to directly touch any of the sacred objects. However, right, and only Aaron and his sons were permitted to insert the carrying poles and to cover the objects before they could be moved. So even with the Ark of the Covenant, when it was time to move, the tabernacle, Aaron, the high priest, the anointed, the Messiah, and his sons, the Messiahs, the Christians, the Hebrew Christians, I want to emphasize this point that the first Messiah in the scripture that we have here in the Hebrew scriptures is Aaron. So he's a type of the Messiah in the new covenant. And his sons, they would be the fellow Messiahs or those who are anointed, right? So we have the Moshiach Yeshua in the new covenant sense, and those of his disciples and the true followers of the Moshiach, right, especially of Yisrael, coming into that priestly role within the renewed covenant, just to understand the type. But even though now the Levites, of the Levite Levitical tribe, the Kohathites, they are responsible for the holy furnishings, including the ark, they could not just go into the tent and do anything. First, Aaron and his sons would have to cover it, have to prepare it, you know what I mean, put the carrying poles, get everything ready, and then once it was ready, they would give the signal to the Kohathites, you know, therefore to, you know, pick it up and it's time to move. So just to point out that particular point right there, brothers and sisters and brothers, we got some basic questions here in this Bamidbar, as well as some more advanced questions and some interesting topics of discussion, some interesting reasonment items. But here, looking at the time right here, we have a psalm, today's daily psalm.
The Ark of Covenant is supposedly somewhere in Ethiopia. That's why we went into Somalia, because Ethiopia is next door to Somalia. For all you folks who don't know this,
Sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong.
And Dr. Greg, I appreciate it. So, Mark, I'll let you finish up what you were saying.
Well, I just want to tell you this real very quickly here. The reason why George Bush took the U.S. Armed Forces into Somalia is because The Ark, well, let me just tell you that the three most important things, your holy spear or the holy lance, because that's what pierced Jesus Christ in the side on the cross, the Ark of Covenant, well, the Holy Spirit gives you all power. The Ark of Covenant gives you all knowledge. The Holy Lance gives you everlasting life. We have the Holy Spirit. The Ark of Covenant is supposedly somewhere in Ethiopia. That's why we went into Somalia, because Ethiopia is next door to Somalia. And for all you folks who don't know this, Somalis and Ethiopians are not considered black. They're not considered Africans. They're considered the darkest Caucasians on the planet. White folks in Europe and the United States kiss their ass and worship the ground they walk on because they have the Ark of Covenant, and they're still looking for it. So I'm just going to finish this quickly here by just telling you this, Mr. Nelson. For your listeners out there who do research, go back and watch the Indiana Jones movies, but also watch a movie with Keanu Reeves called Constantine. And Mr. Nelson, you know who the other star in that movie was? The brother who was in the movie Amistad. You want an idea about the Holy Lance, the Holy Spear, all power? We got the power, and we're ruling this planet right now, and they're still trying to find those artifacts. And that's why when Brother Gray said they won't kill me, let me just make this very simple for you. They have put contracts out on me, and other people have canceled them. When I got orders to Grenada, cancel the next day. Orders to Kuwait, cancel the next day. Orders to Iraq, Afghanistan, you name it. Somebody in the Pentagon canceled the next day. You know why? Because they truly believe that I am some reincarnated white man and I have secrets that they're still trying to tap into.
That's right.
I wish I was making this up. The Ark of Covenant is supposedly somewhere in Ethiopia. That's why we went into Somalia, because Ethiopia is next door to Somalia. For all you folks who don't know this, who don't know this, who don't know this.
Shabbat, for this Shabbat Bamidbar, this Shabbat Bamidbar in the wilderness, right here, here, here. So we went through a synopsis, a basic overview right here, here, as we pick up with the fourth book of Moshe, fourth book of the Pentateuch, right, of the five volumes right here, here. Here in the book that's known as the Book of Numbers. So we pick up with Numbers chapter 1 from verse 1 to Numbers chapter 4, verse 20 here for this 34th degree of I&I sabbatical study. So going over the basic synopsis, we're going to move forward from there, the basic overview, and touch on some of the basic questions right here before we ride up with today's daily psalm. Today's daily psalm is Psalm 114. Very interesting right here, just noting this here in this 2022 season. Now, today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethio-Hebrews, is themed. Let's get the theme here from the Sefer Tehillim right here. We have the theme right here of the Exodus. Psalm 114, Hebraically, Mizmor Kof, Yod Dalet, Kof Yod Dalet, Kof Yod Dalet, Psalm CXIV. Psalm 114, the theme is the Exodus. So we have the Exodus theme right here, here, here. And here we pick up with the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's known as Bamidbar. And this picks up in the narrative right where Exodus left off. So here as we pick up with the fourth book, Numbers in the narrative, it picks up where the second book left off. So we got the priestly interlude right there. The priestly, the tabernacle, the holy place, the Levitical, we say the foundation in the holy place. Like the tune, the Jah army tune, when they say foundation, groundation in the holy place. Right? So we had Leviticus concerning the Levites, the priesthood, am the sanctuary. So here, once again, in the desert, in the wilderness, Bamidbar, basic questions for Shabbat, Bamidbar. Senbet Midre Beda, Bamarinya, Senbet Midre Beda, Senbet in the desert, in the wilderness. Basic questions here for RSS 34. First question, why did Elohim count the people Amo Yisrael? You got a lot of funny guys and girls. They'd be like, well, did he know how many people? You know, yeah, okay, anyway. But why did Elohim, right, count and issue a census for Amo Yisrael? Because of his great love. Ha'el, the Almighty, Ha'el, Ha'elahim, he counts, right, accounts, accountability. He counts Amo, his people, all the time. He counted Yisrael, Israel, when they first left Mitzrayim. And we have this in Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. Let's just go there. Right, when we're reading and studying in our study notes, and there's whether it's the Scofield Study Bible or other study notes, and they point to, well, this is explained allegedly by this over here, we should go to that over there to see whether it really, you know, so we can know the truth for ourselves. So Exodus chapter 12, right, in chapter 12 at verse 37, 12 and 37, one page over here, here we go. 12 and 37. What does it read? Here we go. 12 and 37. It reads, this is here, redemption. His Scofield Study Bible, redemption. They say the second item by power at the first stage of the journey. So this is the superscription that's written here, but connected with Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. And the B'nai Yisrael, and the children, the sons of Israel, journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot, about 600,000 on foot that were men, that were mandem, beside children. So here where it says, and the B'nai Yisrael, directly in the Hebrew, the sons of Israel, they journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot, and they were about 600,000 on foot. 600,000 footmen them, besides the children, right? Besides the children, so it's not including the children, not including the woman, but the children of Yisrael, the sons of Yisrael, the man them was 600,000 on foot that were man, beside children. Then in verse 38 it says, and a mixed multitude. So there were others that were not B'nai Yisrael, but they came up and out, even some comedics, right? Some Mitzrayim, but there was a mixed multitude that went up, that aliyed up also with them, and flocks and herds, and even very much cattle, and even enough cattle. So to the first question here, basic question, we have some advanced questions, but let's just get through these 14 or so basic questions, pick up with the 16 or so advanced questions, 30 questions in all right here, for this sabbatical reasoning, sabbatical table talk right here. So why did Elohim count Amo Yisrael? Because of his great love. Yahuwah counts Amo Yisrael, counts his people all the time. He counted Yisrael when they first left Mitzrayim, when they first left Egypt, according to Exodus 12 and 37. When he came to manifest his presence, we have Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 15. Still in Exodus, since Numbers picks up where Exodus left off. So here, the connection right here, Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 15. Go to chapter 30, verses 11 to 15. Well, this is interesting here, because here we're in Exodus chapter 30, which is the chapter that concerns the tabernacle, and in particular the 18th item, the altar of the Ishans, the great altar, you know, the great worship chapter, the golden altar of Ishans, the great worship chapter. right? And the great worship is connected with the Aishans and the altar, the golden altar of Aishans. And this chapter, get to verse 11 and ask the question here, Scofield Study Bible, point of reference, who may worship? First part, the redeemed. And pointing to Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2, as well as Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 21. But here's the verse right here. And Jehovah spake to Moshe, saying, when thou takest the sum of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for nafsho, his soul, his psyche. They shall give every man a ransom for his soul, for her, to Yahuwah, Jehovah, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of Yahuwah, of Jehovah. Another note for I and I here, Havarim, fellow disciples, is let's get into the weights and measures, right? A lot of weights and measures here. So let's see how these weights and measures, you know, how these weights and measures in reality today, right? So we can get a good sense, right? Do the math, even especially here in Numbers. Verse 14 here, Exodus chapter 30 at verse 14, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above. So we also get this number of 20 years old here in Numbers chapter 1 concerning the fighting mandem. From 20 years old and above shall give an offering, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah. Verse 15, the rich shall not give more. The rich shall not give more, and the poor, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. So there's an equality here. The rich don't have to give more because they so-called are rich, and the poor don't have to give less because they are poor. Everyone to give half a shekel when they give an offering, LaYahuwah, to Jehovah, to make an atonement for your souls, for your psyches. We can say Hebraically here, for your she's. So soul and man, as well as woman, right, is feminine, according to the Hebrew, right? And again, Jah had counted his people, both when they left Egypt in Exodus 12 and 37, and both when he made his presence, his face, his perception manifest in Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 15. And again, when the tabernacle was erected, when the tabernacle was pitched, right, according to Exodus chapter 38, verses 25 to 28. Chapter 38, verses 25, right, to 28. So let's go there. So here in chapter 38. Chapter 38 overall has a theme of the altar of burnt offering, the laver of brass, the courtyard, the gate of the court. And here in chapter 38 at verse 25, at verse 25, it reads, and the silver, the kesef, in the Hebrew, the kesef, the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation, the aggregation, was 100 talents and 1,703.15 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, verse 26, a beka, for every man, that is half a shekel. So here's telling us that the beka, what was called a beka, is actually half a shekel. And the shekel basically is the Israelite, we say the currency, is likened to the children of the Ethiopians, the bur. We call the bur, the silver currency, right? The silver standard. So the Hebrew economy and the currency is based on the silver standard, like you hear about the Gentiles, the Americans, the gold standard. Well, our standard is the silver standard. And the Israelites of Ethiopia also had that bur, right? That bur. That's also one of the reasons for the godless and creeping coup against his imperial majesty, he would not take Ethiopia off of the silver standard or put Ethiopia under the world banking system, but some careless Ethiopians, they wanted to do that. At the time of his majesty, the Ethiopian bur, the dollar, we say the Ethiopian shekel, was almost one-to-one. About 85 to 90, 95, you know, it fluctuated, but it was close to one-to-one. Be that as it may, verse 26, a beka for every man, that is half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. So what this tells us, when we find the phrase shekel of the sanctuary, that means that the shekel, to talk about the silver currency, the coinage, right, that we say the money, was based on the weight and measure of the tabernacle. That means that HaTorah, as we said, with the nine areas of people activity, it also regulated the economy. That's why it says, after, it shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Because different ones also use similar currency of shekel, but the weight was different for different ones. So here we determine, you know, how much it is based on the shekel of the holy place, based on the shekel of the sanctuary. For everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,000 and 500 and 50. So here it even gives a number right here. And the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets, and of the 100 talents of silver, so we read about 100 talents being the weight, and of that 100 talents that was given, right, they were cast, right, the sockets of the sanctuary were cast, and the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent, the weight, the measure, right, of the kesef, of the silver, for a socket. Verse 28, and of the 1,000 775 shekelim made he hooks, the hooks for the pillars, and overlay the chapiters, the capiters, and filleted them. So we pause right here, just to put this into context here on the first basic question of why did Elohim count Amo Yisrael? So we have the counting three times in Exodus. After the Bnei Yisrael came Mimitzrayim out of the Hetkapeta, Egypta, Egypt, in Exodus 12:37, when Hashem came to manifest his face, his presence, in Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 15, and again when the tabernacle was pitched, when it was erected, in Exodus chapter 38, verses 25 to 28. And a month later, a moon later, he counted them just before the people, Ha'am, Amo Yisrael, before the people left Sinai, before the people left Sinai. Second basic question here for Shabbat Bamidbar. Why was the census taken 30 days after, a moon, a month, 30 days after the tabernacle was consecrated? As a period of mourning, it is said to be a period of mourning, avalut, the avalut for Aharon, Aaron's Benav, for the sons of Aaron, namely for Nadab and Abihu, who had died, right, on Abib 1, on the first day of the first moon, Abib, that now is also called Nisan, right, by Jews. That's the secondary, the latter-day name. The original name of the first month is Abib. So Nadab and Abihu, they had died at that time. Now, it's interesting because here in this Bar Midbar, Torah reading and feeding, there's a mention that is kind of made of them, that there's only Yitamar and Eleazar, along with their father, the high priest, the Messiah, Aharon, because Nadab and Abihu had gotten burned when they went to offer strange fire. So why was the census taken 30 days after? It is said to be that period of avalut, or mourning for Aharon's sons, the former priest, anointed priest, Nadab and Abihu. Question three, what was the total number of the Israelite males over the age of 20, over the age of 20 that was counted in the census? So what was the total number? The total number, according to the scripts, is 603,550. That did not include Halloween. That did not include the Levites, the woman, children, or members of the mixed multitude. Again, the census here, remember that it says that when they came out of Egypt, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 37 and verse 38, it says there was a mixed multitude. So who was included in the number? Well, who had a right to land? Those were those who could prove their pedigree as descendant from Yaakov Yisrael. So there were 603,550. That number did not include Halloween, the Levites, didn't include the woman, didn't include the children, and did not include any members of the mixed multitude. According to the Judaic tribe, this meant that there were from 2 to 3 million people. It is estimated that there was from 2 to 3 million people who had left Mitzrayim during the Exodus. Question number 3. According to the sages, how were the people counted? According to the sages, the Rebbanim, the scholars of Torah, each person gave a half shekel, or the machatzit ha-shekel. Ha-shekel, right? The total was then counted. Persons themselves were not numbered, since that would invite Hashem's judgment, Yahweh, he who be, who he be's judgment of the records. Now, this is a very interesting point here, because there's elsewhere where David, he decided to take a census. You know, and there was a judgment upon Yisrael, right, because of what Dawit had done when David decided to take a census. And so the sages, they reasoned, and in reasoning on Torah and Jah's revealed revelation, they recognized that since each person gave the machatzit ha-shekel, right, a half shekel, right, the total number of the half shekels, that was counted. And it was not that the persons themselves was numbered, like everybody lined up and 1, 2, 3, 4. No, the people themselves, the persons were not numbered, because the sages reasoned that that would invite Yahweh Jehovah's judgment of the records. Even today, a minyan is counted using the kippahs, the kupas, the kippahs, the yarmulkes, the mukas. In other words, we count indirectly, you know, because of that counting of the person, something about the person. Yes? Question five, why were Moses, Moshe's son, not part of the leadership of Yisrael? Very interesting question. Question five here for this sabbatical study, this Shabbat Strong, Shabbat Bamidbar. Why were Moses' sons not part of the leadership of Israel? Because they did not experience the Exodus from Mitzrayim. They did not cross the sea, the Yam Suf, with Amo Yisrael. Since they remain in Midian with Yitro, with Jethro, Moses' chotein, Moses' father-in-law, according to Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. Because some would try to say, well, because Moses had an Ethiopian wife. No, that's prophecy there, if you can see. Jah was going to destroy all of Yisrael and make a great nation out of Moses. That means Moses, right, and his family and his sons and his children. So that whole Ethiopian Hebrew, are you not as a children of Ethiopia connection is already there. Remember that Yahuwah is the same today, yesterday, forever. But the real reason why Moses' sons were not part of the leadership of Yisrael, it's all about experience. And this is similar and the same when we talk about ethnic Israel. And even when we say ethnic Rastafari, and when we define ethnic Rastafari as we, the black and brown people that are part of this 400-year experience, that discludes many other black peoples, right, and or African peoples, right? Because even we are discluded out of many of their experiences because we did not experience it, so we did not partake in that. So the reason why the sons of Moshe were not a part of the leadership is because they did not experience the exodus from Mitzrayim, and they did not cross the Yam Suf, the Etra Bahir, the Eritrean Sea, the Sea of Reeds, with Amo Yisrael. Question 6. At the time of the census, which was the largest tribe? What was the largest tribe at the census we have here in Numbers? Who was the largest tribe? Who was the smallest tribe? The largest tribe was Yehuda, Yehuda Yikdem, Ethiopia Tikdem, Yehuda Yikdem, Yehuda first. Judah was 74,600. And the least tribe, that was Levi, with 22,300. Question 7. What are the three main subgroups or family clans within Halloween, within the Levites, the Lewin, the Lewawian? What are the three main subgroups or family clans within the Levites? They are the Kohathites, 8,600. The Gershonites, 7,500. The Merarites, 6,200. Each group was responsible for helping maintain HaMishkan, maintaining the sanctuary, maintaining the holy place. Note that Aharon u'Banayo, Aaron and Banav and his sons, who are collectively HaKohanim, the priests, were actually part of the Kohathite clan, though they were separated for special service. They were separated for the anointed, the consecrated, the Messiah services. We could say for the Hebrew Christ and Christian services in the church in the wilderness. Question 8. How were the subgroups of the Levites arranged? How were they arranged around the tabernacle, the holy place? Well, the Gershonites, they buffered the west end. The Merarites on the south side. The Kohathites on the north, and Moses and Aaron's tents, the tents of Moses, Moshe, and Aharon, they were placed on the east side, directly before the entrance, the one entrance to HaMishkan, to the tabernacle compound itself. Question 9. What do the sages say that the tribe of Levi was not? Why do the sages, Rebbanim, the scholars of Torah, the rabbis, why do they say that the tribe of Levi, of Levi, was not as populous as the other tribes? To counteract the Egyptian, the Mitzrayim, the Kemetic decrees, Hael, the Almighty, greatly increased the number of the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, whose lives were made bitter with hard labor, according to Exodus chapter 1, verse 12. But since Halloween, the Levites were never, in that sense, in bondage or like enslaved in that sense, they increased only at a natural rate. Remember, we even had our priest class from the time of Yosef and Joseph. Right. Question 10, right here. Question 10. HaTorah, the Torah, it lists the total number of Gershonites, Kohathites, Merarites, right, as 22,300. But it also states that the total number of Levites as 22,000. How would I explain what seems to be right here, a discrepancy? Well, one scholar stated that the extra 300 were firstborn sons, and therefore they needed to be, quote, redeemed. That the 300 difference, they were firstborn sons, and therefore for firstborn sons, they needed to be purchased back, they needed to be redeemed. Question 11, how were the 12 tribes arranged around the tabernacle, around the holy place? Each tribe camped in the same position as the sons of Jacob, the sons of Ya'akov, the B'nai Ya'akov, stood when they came before him for a bracha. This is the interesting point right here. How were the 12 tribes arranged around the tabernacle? Well, each tribe, they camped in the same position as the sons of Jacob, as Jacob's sons stood when they came before him for a bracha, for the increase, the prosperity, for what is called the blessing, for the bracha. Question 12, which tribe faced the gate to HaMishkan? Which tribe faced the gate to the tabernacle? In other words, you could not get into the tabernacle without first running into which tribe? That's the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Yehuda. From that would come HaMoshiach, Yeshua, the Shiloh, to whom it belongs, the Shiloh prophecy. So the tribe that faced the gate to the tabernacle, if you want to see a kind of, how can we say, a word pick of the tabernacle from the old covenant to the new, look at the personal insignia of the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Look at the personal insignia of Ketamawi Haile Selassie, that one that has the curtains drawn back, the one where you see the lion of the tribe of Judah in front of the throne that has the ball and has the scepter, right, that pot of manna, and it has a scepter, the throne there corresponding with the Ark of the Covenant, and the two angels at both sides of the throne, the two cherubim, the two cherubim. But that's the reason why you see the Lion of Judah right there at the open, the curtains. Remember, there was a curtain at the door, and there was a curtain before the Holy of Holies. So you see the Lion of Judah taking that front and center space. So that means that everyone that went into the tabernacle, they would have to pass by the tribe of Judah. So the tribe of Judah stood before the gate to the tabernacle. And it's from the tribe of Yehuda that HaMoshiach Yeshua, Yeshua HaNotri, and the Shiloh, to him whom it belongs, prophecy. Question 13. How did the tribes know when to break camp and to travel and to try? How did the tribes know? The Shekinah cloud would move away. The cloud actually would lift up from HaMishkan, right? A cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. So when the Shekinah, the cloud of glory, right, when the Anan would move away, would lift up, right, and begin to move, this is how they knew it was time to break camp, pack it up, and it was time to make tracks and trot. Question 14, Chabarim, the last of the basic questions right here. What is Pidyon Habain? There's the Hebrew expression Pidyon Habain, or alternatively, it could be said in other dialects of the Ivrit as Pidyon or Fidyon Habain. And who makes one today? The Pidyon Habain. Pidyon is redemption, Habain, the son, the redemption of the son, to redeem the son, especially the firstborn sons. Pidyon Pada, redemption. Pidyon, the redemption. Ha, the bane, the redemption of the sun. This is a symbolic ceremony. There's a symbolic ceremony of giving five shekels, five shekelim, to a Kohen, to a priest for the redemption of a firstborn son. And the firstborn son, the Bechor. Interesting, in Amharic we have the Bekur. The Bekur, right? The Awa Cheru, right? Our chosen one is that firstborn, right there. Going to pick up with some of the advanced questions in the forward, some of the basic questions right here for this 34th degree of I&I sabbatical study. Here, looking at the time. Going to ride up.
Yeah, the sound of the shekel right there, yeah, the coin, yes, sir. Here, tabernacle.
That tabernacle, way over, all of Mount Zion. That tabernacle, that tabernacle. Them and those who walk it in the road of righteousness and seek at the truth within their heart shall enter in the whole of tabernacle of Joshua. Yeah, yeah, oh, oh. Yeah, tell me who just shall abide in thy tabernacle. Oh, tell it to me. Tell me who just shall abide. Of love. It's only them that willing to do the work of Jah shall go to Mount Zion and live. Only them that know the name of His Majesty and accept it to all who shall live. It's only them who care for the people and love the people and love the world. It's only them shall enter in the tabernacle full of Mount Zion. That's why I ask in John for the things that we need, the things that we need, the things that we need in life, the things that we need in life to make our mind feel comfortable. Tell me who just shall abide in thy tabernacle. Only them who love Him. Tell me who just shall abide in thy tabernacle. Tell it to me. I have something for the whole wide world to listen to now. Oh, yeah, help me, I'm willing for your help. I want you help, Joe. I need a little gift. Food, clothes, and shelter, and health and strength. Love and liberty, and love and liberty. Our love on the left. For the people.
Rastafari, give it and raise the heart to fire night. Jah, Almighty I. Just a passing glance was all I had of Rastafari faith. Just a passing glance was all I had. Oh yeah. Just a passing touch of freedom I felt, moving in my soul, and it gives me the feeling that I'm gonna be
Sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong, 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 Shabbat strong,
Bamidbar, Bamidbar, Bamidbar. This Torah portion, some theme it as even a war Torah. Is it a war Torah portion, and in what way?
All that we're aiming, keyword here, as we pick up with the 34th degree of I&I sabbatical study here in this Shavua. We're beginning the fourth book, known in Hebrew as Bamidbar, and called in the English, translated as Numbers. Numbers. Now, here's certain ones and ones in Rospect. Rospect is due, but, you know, we can grow in grace and knowledge. Some say, I&I is not a Bible Rasta. We deal with gun thing, and we defend the bad boy thing. Well, what's interesting right here, if you think that the Bible is just about rites, rituals that are just so-called spiritual or like counterfeit Christianity, you have not really applied yourself to study, right? And we speak this mainly to the Rastas that talk about, you know, Bible Rasta, you know, that the Bible Rasta. I don't know what you mean by Bible Rasta. How about what the King of Kings, Kedemah HaLasalasi, says, for my part, I glory in the Bible. So what you say? What you say now, you're taking the name, you're just taking the name, right? Don't be identity thief. But here, just to show that the Bible is not just about, you know, one particular aspect, what some might call religious or spirituality, but it addresses the nine areas of people activity. And here, particularly here in this particular book, fourth book of Moshe, if we study, we can see that explained to I and we. Right, for sustainable repatriation. In fact, a lot of things that are going on, it seems as though the judgment has first come to Rastafari. You know, if judgment must first come to the house of God, to the Beit Rastafari, then where would the end be for those who disobey the good news, right, of Adonai Jah Rastafari concerning the kingdom? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So we got work to do, but we need to be instructed, directed. Right, Jah's teaching, give us a teaching of his majesty. We don't want no devil's philosophy. All that we have received before we really begin to study, whether some of the things was true or not, is still part of the collective devil philosophy. Let us study to shew ourselves approved. So here in going through the studies, we're beginning the fourth book right here. First ear, here.
The fourth book of Moses called numbers. So did they. 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 So did they.
And when they did so, they prospered. When they didn't do so well, we can see the captivity of I and I, once lost, now found, and all that we've experienced over these 400 years, right here, here, here. So, here is interesting. Here we pick up with the fourth book of Moses, and the first thing first is raising an army. People say, where's our defense? Where's our security? How is Rastafari defending I and I and stuff, I and I security? Well, the groundation is in the same Bible, but you're reading it as a half Israelite, a half original. You're reading it partly, you know, as Rastafari, pro-black, Ethiopia, maybe even Israel. But then you still have a lot of the pre-existing conditions and the pre-existing conditioning from counterfeit Christianity, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christianity. Know this for sure. When they first gave so-called black people the slave Bible, these areas they took out of the so-called slave Bible. You know, the slave Bible, they took out all these important areas. And it seems as though the ones don't recognize these areas are also in the scripture. So when they talk about Bible Rasta, I don't know what they, maybe some Rastas who only focus on, you know, those counterfeit Christianity themes that are so overrated, even the point about the gospel. What is the gospel? Ask yourself, ask ones and ones. How many of them respond correctly according to what even Robeinu, Yeshua, Jesus Christos says? The King of Kings Christ, Jesus Christos. What does he say? What does he say? All right. What does he say? Just leave it at that. What does he say? But here, here, here. Let's give ear, give ear. Spoke about when the Ark of the Covenant, when the Ark of the Covenant was moving forward, forward, forward. Do you know from Psalm 68, that psalm that's important to so many of I and I, for Rastafari, Psalm 68, verse 4, where it mentions Yah or Jah in the Hebrew, right? Where we come with the Jah, right? He who be, who he be, the revelation, Rastafari. And then to the verse 31, speaking about princes shall come out of Egypt, of Gibbet, right? Ethiopia shall stretch forth her hands. Ethiopia, Jochuan, Wode Egziavihir to Zerregalech. But when the ark is raising up and moving forward, there's a password, 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 a key password. That password is found right here, here, here in this fourth book of Moshe. All right? And the password also is found, adapted, in Psalm 68. Give ear, give ear, give ear. So when the ark, when the camp started to move forward, when that cloud lifted up over the tabernacle, it was a signal to call Yisrael, to Israel, hulu, 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 all of Israel. That was time to move forward, forward. And that key word, here, 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 even from Psalm 68.
Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, 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 and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That's one of the tokacha, tokachot, one of the chastisements and punishments that we read about and we read about in the third book, especially in Leviticus chapter 26, which we liken to Leviticus chapter 28. The consequences if we would not hear, if we would not obey, if we would not take heed, the consequences. Some say the curses for disobedience. So it says the rebellious. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. And also we learned about how important the land is, even more here in this fourth book, where the spies who went into the land, they brought back, at least the 10 of the 12, they brought back lies that discouraged almost all of the Israelites. They listened to the lying words of the spies that brought back lies, and because they had made a bad democratic decision, This is when the majority made a vote, you know, but the majority was, we could say, ratchet as uck, you know, that they got that 40-year sentence, a year for a day. But the key thing that Yahuwah, that Shahuwah, that Ekziah, the sustainer, says, they had blasphemed, they had slandered, they slandered the land. Not they slandered God so much directly. He don't say that there. He says that they had slandered that good land, Etobah Arza, Arza, the land, Etobah, Ethiopia, Etobah, the Hebrew right there, because the archaic name of Ethiopia, right, before the Greeks was Tobia.
Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
So here.
Sabbatical study, this Ainai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel, being 12 men. Each one was for the house of his father. Each one was for the house of his father, 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 for the house of his father. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel, with all that were able to go forth to war and go forth to war and go forth to war.
So what we have here is also war, one of the areas of people activity, direction, instruction, the Torah, direction, instructions for war as well. So here, for Bamidbar, first word after Leviticus, after the heart of HaTorah, the third book of the five books of Moshe, here we have Bamidbar. Bamidbar is the Hebrew name of the book, which means in the wilderness. Now, it's called Numbers, and we can ask the question, well, why was it called Numbers? Well, that will now take us into the sacred geometric, you know, numbers of creation that are also found in the book. The speed of life, some say the measurement of the pyramids, are all contained in this book that is called Numbers. But here at the first degree of Ainai sabbatical studies, Bamidbar, first word, after Leviticus, right, which we refer to as the priestly, right, the priestly interlude. Here.
Atam, May, Eret, from the Eret, the land, May, from, or me, some say me Eret, or me Eret, from the land, Mitzrayim, from the land of Egypt. Now, in this new book, in the new book that we are in, the book of Bamidbar.
You'll find your redemption and your keep up the teachings of His Majesty. You'll find your redemption and your keep up the teachings of His Majesty. You'll find your redemption and your keep up the teachings of His Majesty. Open the world, no devil, philosophy. I just been keep up the teachings of His Majesty. Open the world.
Yes.
Questions right here.
Van's questions right here for this bar in the wilderness.
Some a little more advanced questions here for this 34th degree of our sabbatical study. And just take note that here with Bamidbar, with the Book of Numbers, we're picking up on the narrative where the second book of Moshe, known as Exodus, Hebraically known as Shemot, the names. So from the English perspective, you know the book as Exodus. From the Hebraic, the Judaic perspective, we know the book as Shemot. Shemot means the names. So here in the fourth book is picking up on the narrative, right? And it was a narrative from out of Egypt, continuing the tribe. We had the third book of Moses that we completed, Leviticus, and once again, Chazak, Wanit Chazek, be strong, Chazak, Wanit Chazek, and make us be strengthened, may we strengthen and encourage, Wanit Chazek. So Chazak, to be strong, also Chazak, to encourage. It's interesting when we look at the Hebrew and we're studying Exodus, where it says about Yahuwah hardening, you know, Paro, the great house's heart. And that word is also used right there, chazak. Because people say, well, why did Jah punish Paro, Pharaoh, the Sutanet, Sutanbet, the king, you know, the Molech of Mitzrayim? Why did he punish him, you know, if he hardened his heart? But then we look at the Hebrew, the chazak there is encouraging. You know, somebody is going wrong, you try to warn them, but they are set in their ways. So you encourage them because you know that sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. Anyway, just to zoom in on that term there, the chazak, wanit chazek. What we say when we fulfill a book of Torah to one another, to the fellow chabarim, the talmudim, the fellow disciples, it's an encouragement. Be strong. We fulfill the book. Let's go on. Be strong. Chazak. What? And nita chazek. It's reflexive. So it can be interpreted as make us be strengthened. May we be strengthened. May we be encouraged. But the true Hebrew sense of the hitapael is may we encourage one another, reflexive. May we strengthen. Right, each one strengthen one another. So here, some of the advanced questions here for this 34th degree of the sabbatical studies here for this Shabbat Bamidbar, Sabbath in the wilderness, in the desert. Another little note here for the Chabarim, the Talmudim, is Midbar is an interesting word. Go look up the word Midbar. Go into the BDB, Brown's Drivers Briggs, also the Strong's Concordance on the word. When you get to the very root of the word midbar, what's interesting, we have dabar, and the word dabar in the Hebrew, some might say davar in modern Eastern European influence, you know, according to their Eastern European mother tongues, they say davar, because after all, they have the double V, right? Double V is a W. The W in some European languages is pronounced as a V, and the V is actually pronounced as a W. The J in some of the European languages like German, where the Bible was first translated from the Latin and from some other versions into the common language, they have Jehovah. But from the pronunciation, the same letters, they will say Yahuwah. So just to understand that when we're looking at these glyphs and everything, we have to put things into context. But here, the word midbar also has in it the bar, the word for word, which brings out a few interesting contexts here, because we see that in this fourth book, we heard from the web mistress, she pointed out that one had made a comment, hail up to the Rastafari Israelites on the YouTube, the channel, also hopefully hearing this as well, and going along with the studies as I as well. One had mentioned about numbers, like bad things, something about bad things and numbers. Well, it's interesting because the bar, from midbar, from one perspective of the Hebrew, could be words properly ordered. Like words properly ordered, like poetry, a composition. But then, midbar can also be out of arrangement, you know, things out of arrangement. But at the root of even the word desert here Hebraically is the Hebrew word dabar, the word for word. And as we mentioned in the audio on the evening psalm, Psalm 81, that we have dabar and we have deber, deber. Modern Hebrew, dabar and deber, deber. Deber is often, or deber, often is translated in the translations from the Hebrew as pestilence. So there's a particular word, right, for pestilence that also comes from the word for word. Just a little note there for I and I to study up on that as we're growing in grace and the knowledge of the King of Kings Christ, the Moshiach, Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth. So here, here, here. Question 15, the advanced questions right here. Why did each tribe have a different flag or a different ensign, as it's often translated into the English, ensign or even banner, or in some places in the KJV as standard? Now, often what we have in the translation is sometimes one Hebrew word is being translated 2, 3, 4 or more different ways in English. So sometimes we'll see something, as we just did a vlog on what we're calling it right now, KJV errors, Israelites asked. They asked, not borrowed from Egyptian silver and gold back pay. Right? That in the KJV of the Bible, it'll say borrow, borrow. They borrow. But reading it from the Hebrew, and we cross-check, cross-reference in the Book of the Seven Seals, the King of Kings Bible, also there as well, the word, the verb, is not the verb to borrow, but is to ask, ask. So right here, with the word flag as well, so you might find the translation might have banner or standard or ensign or even sometime emblem, depends on the translation. But here, question, advanced question, first of the advanced questions. Here, the 15th of the questions for this Shabbat Bamidbar, the 34th sabbatical study. Why did each tribe have a different flag when the Bnei Yisrael were one nation? Good question. Think so? Why did each of the tribes have a different flag when the Bnei Yisrael often translated as children of Israel, but more directly and properly in the Hebrew, it specifies the sons of Israel, when the sons of Israel were one nation? Answer, to indicate that the Beta Israel, the Beit Yisrael, the house of Israel, were 12 nations. 12 nations united as one people of Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, the power. The flag, for example, the flag of Yehuda, the flag of Judah, was said to be distinctive, however, because it is said from the ancient teachings and in some of the studies we've come across this as well, that it was said to be of the color of the sky. The tekelet, like sky blue, the color of the sky, with a fiery lion that was emblazed, up on it, upon it. The Lion of Judah, little clip here from Black Uhuru right here, concerning what the careless Ethiopians did to the flag. So the Torah, give thanks, Cat, Super Cat right there. Live by the Torah and the wicked crumble. So here, that was the first question right there. So the answer that each of the tribes had a different flag, a different standard, a different banner, when the sons of Israel, the Israelites, were one nation, to indicate that the Jah people were 12, in the fulfillment, the full of fullness, were 12 nations, right? 12 nations united as one people of Yahuwah, of Jehovah. Next question. Why were Israelite men under the age of 20 years old, not allowed to fight in Yisrael, in Israel's battles, Why were the Israelite men who were under the age of 20 not allowed to fight in Yisrael's battles? At 5 years of age, this is from the Perkei Avot, this is from the advice of the patriarchs, Perkei Avot 5 and 24, where it reads that at 5 years of age, the study of Scripture. At 10, the study of Mishnah. At 13, the obligation to observe mitzvot, or commandments. At 15, the study of the teaching that is called, the compendium is known as Talmud. Now, I know a lot of people, they hear Talmud, they go, wow, oh, Babylonian Talmud, but the Babylon had a Talmud. When we say Babylon had a Talmud, our people in Babylon had a Talmud. Just like we go to different camps or different ones of us who acknowledge that we're Hebrews and Israelites. And, you know, some might even say about our teaching, they say, oh, that's off. But if you were to take all the teachings, even here in Babylon, from all the different camps, and to one question you say, well, this camp say this, this one say that, and just put it all together as a point of reference. So there was the Babylonian Talmud, right, from those Israelites that were in Babylon. There was the Palestinian Talmud for those who were still in the land of Jerusalem Talmud. Right? There's also the Ethiopian. When we say Talmud, Talmud is an operative word in Hebrew that means teaching. It's from Lamed. Lamed, the letter, also the word Lamed means to become acquainted with. So just to point that out there so that we can look at it in its proper context. So at 5 years of age was the study of Scripture for the man, the young man then. At 10 years of age, the study of the Mishnah. Mishnah from Shana, right? Shana, which means to reduplicate, like going over again. It's an active word also for another level of the Hebraic education. At 13 years of age is the obligation upon sons to observe mitzvot. Mitzvot or mitzvot is the commandments. At 15, the study of the Talmud, the teachings, right? The full of full compendium of the teachings. At 18, marriage, right? And in the teachings, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But these are the teachings, so we'll be familiar with the teachings of our people. The good, the bad, and the ugly. At 18, marriage. And at 20 begins the pursuit of life. So based on the ancient studies, there was rites of passage. There was an order. So there was the expectation on sons at 5 years of age, the basic preliminary study of Scripture and familiarity with Scripture. At 10, more advanced study of Scripture known as Mishnah. At 13, therefore, the rite of passage, right? The obligation now upon the sons to observe mitzvot. Therefore, the sons were considered as men. In other words, they were now no longer in the little boys category, but was in the man's category. Therefore, they had the obligation to observe mitzvot. That means that rewards for what they did, and also corrections, chastisement, or punishment for what they did not do or what they did wrong. At 15, a deeper level study of the teachings. At 18, marriage. And at 20 was what begins the pursuit of life, which is interesting if you look at it. Even today, you know, they say the teenagers. There's no such thing. We had no such thing in the ancient times as teenagers, right, the teenage. But what's interesting is that we look at the ages. Right, we have 12 is not a teen, it's 12. Now 13 is that rite of passage as a man, right? For girls, 12 was for the woman, since women are observed to advance a little bit more so than sons for interesting reasons, right? But so be it. But from 13 to 19, notice that once the child has grown up and now becomes a young man, at 20, now pursue your life. In other words, the pursuit of life, you know, one's life and one's happiness, one's life, one's wife, one's happiness. Well, 18, usually the marriage, you know, and then the pursuit of one's life. So it's interesting, by the time the child becomes 20, they are outside of what's called technically nowadays the teenage years. So hopefully this gives a little bit of a context of why young men, or men that were younger than 20 years of age, they were not thought to be completely fit. Question 17 here, advanced question. Why did Elohim seek for the Levite, want the Levite guards standing at attention in the tabernacle? Why did Jah seek for the Levite guards, guards of the tribe of Levi, Lewi, to stand at attention at the tabernacle? Though Jah, though the Almighty, does not need any guards for himself, it was a sign of honor in the same sense as we would have a palace protocol, right? Or, you know, they say bodyguards, but glory guards, as even the King of Kings, you know, where it says the Zebenya, the Kibbutz Zebenya, like the palace protocol, because the tabernacle was thought, right, to represent Jah's dwelling space, right? So as the King of Kings, the King of all kings, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, guard his space, right? So this is one of the reasons here. Though the Levites were not to serve in the military, the Levites were not included in the count of the 12, which makes the count very interesting. How many tribes were there? We say the 12 tribes, but Levite is not included in the 12, but yet there's still 12. But the Levites were not to serve in the military. They were recognized as the fighting force against idolatry, right? Against idolatry, right? Based on Phineas's example. But they were not to serve. Their service was in the sanctuary, in the holy place, at the heart of the community. They were not to serve in the military, yet they were recognized as the fighting force against idolatry. Next question, question 18 here, advanced question, the fourth of the advanced questions here for this Shabbat Bamidbar. Why did Yahweh require a census? Why did Jehovah require a census when he already knows everything? This is one of those questions that people would tend to ask, right? Why did God require census when he already knows everything? Well, when someone has a collection of precious valuables, it is a pleasure, ain't it, to count them again and again. Again, when someone, anyone, yourself, for example, if you have a collection of precious valuables, is it not a pleasure to count them again and again? See, counting someone, or even something, but in this case, counting someone also means, chaberim, recognizing their worth. So counting someone in this context here with Elohim in the census means recognizing their worth, even in the eyes of Ha'elohim, of Ha'elohim. Therefore, children of Yisrael, you matter, right? Yisrael matters in Jah's sight. Next question right here. Question 19. According to some of the Judaic legends, how did Moses count the babies? Right? How did Moses count the babies of the Levites? Elohim instructed Moshe, right, instructed him to walk up to the tents. And it is said, this is just something that has been passed down from the tribe tradition, it is said that there was the bat kol, bat kol. What is bat kol? Bat in Hebrew means daughter, and kol, kol, kol means voice. So often the bat kol, which is like the daughter of the voice, right, or the voice of the daughter, is often brought out as heavenly voice. So a bat call, the daughter, the voice, the daughter of the voice would tell the number to him. This is not directly scripts, but it's kind of interesting as well to see that the heavenly voice is even referred to as the bat for daughter and call, the daughter of the voice of the daughter. Question 20. According to the Midrash, according to the teaching, what happened to a Levite who switched his job, you know, who sought for another job? What happened to a Levite, right? According to the Midrash is like the teaching, going over scripture, the scholars studying it, you know, asking questions. And based on this question being asked before, we ask it again here. What happened to a Levite who switched his jobs? Well, a Levite who did the work of a Kohen. Remember that all of the Kohens, right, the Kohanim, the priests, were Levites, but not all of the Levites were Kohanim. But a Levite who did the work of a Kohen, of a priest, a Kohen, and did the work of another clan of the Levites was to be, according to the scripts, cut off. Was to be cut off. Judged by Shemayim, the heavens, to eventually die an untimely death. Because everyone, we get this here, especially here in Bamidbar, has their definitely assigned posts and positions. This is the only way that you can have a nation, especially an organized nation. This is our true organization. Question 21. What carried those who carried it? What carried those who carried it? Now, here, of course, we're speaking of the Aron HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant. It is said that the Ark of the Covenant miraculously carried those who carried it. It is said that the Ark of the Covenant, to the question, who carried those who carried it? Well, the Ark of the Covenant carried those who carried it. The Darash, like the sermon or like reaching, like when it says to seek Jehovah, it uses the root word Darash in the sense of Doresh, where we get Midrash from. So the term Midrash and seeking is very, very important when we study the Hebrew, right? So when it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, Hebraically studying the key words, it means look into his revelation, look into the scriptures, his self-revelation of himself. So in looking in the self-revelation of himself and concerning the question about who carried those who carried it, it is said that the Ark of the Covenant carried those who carried it. And what's interesting is that even in the Kibbutz Neges, the Kibbutz Neges, also called in translation the Queen of Sheba and only son Menelik, which we regard this as our Ethiopic Talmud, the Talmud or Timheret teaching, it also brings out the same sense when the Ark was going from that Jerusalem, right, to this Jerusalem. So the Darash here is as we lift the Torah, so we could say the moral of the reasoning here, the Darash here, the conclusion of the matter, so to speak, is as we, quote, lift up HaTorah, Jah's direction and instruction. HaTorah lifts I and I up. As we carry Jah's direction, Jah's instruction, Jah's direction, Jah's instructions, carry I and I. And here's an interesting thing as well. The Torah within the scriptures, as we study the scripts, the Hebrew scriptures, the Torah is actually she. So, mo better, it should read, as we lift HaTorah, Jah's directions, instructions, she, who Solomon, the king, says in Proverbs, she is a tree of life, HaTorah, she carries I and I. Question 22. Who traveled through the desert walking backwards? Who traveled through the desert walking backwards? It is said that the Kohathites who carried the Ark of the Covenant in front were required not to turn their backs to the Ark. Did you know? It is said that the Kohathites, who had carried the Aron HaBrit, the Aron HaEdut, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony in front, were required not to turn their backs to the Ark. This is where we have the sense of, you know, they say before a king, for example, if you're in a king's presence or in a royal hall or royal court and you leave the presence of the king, that you're to walk a certain number of paces back. Some even walk almost all the way back, you know, with their face still to the king, not to turn their back on the king. This also should be understood in the principle concerning the ark being a symbolic throne, right, that we don't turn our back, right, even to the ark, symbolically speaking, because as turning our back to the word, right, the word of Jehovah, his revelation, or in the revelation of the king upon the throne, it's like turning our back to the king who sits upon the throne. So it is said there's the Kohathites who carry the Ark of the Covenant in front. They were required not to turn their backs to the Ark. So therefore, you know, in order to carry it, right, by not turning one's back, right, this is an interesting reason right there. They're not directly in HaTorah, but it is a reasoning where we find the answers in Torah. Next question, what is unclean that carries the clean? What is unclean in Jah's sight, right, in Jah's eyes, right, the eyes of he who be who he be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be he, blessed be the name. What is unclean that carries the clean? The donkey, the hamor, the hamor in the Hebrew, hamor is unclean, tameh. But it was used to carry HaMoshiach, carry the Messiah into Jerusalem. We know this both from the prophet Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and also from Matthew, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 2 to 5. Question 24. Why did Yah reveal HaTorah in the desert? Ba Midbar. Why did Yahuwah reveal HaTorah in the Midbar rather than in the Promised Land? Why? To indicate that it is available to all people. So to this question that from our studies we find it asked many times, you know, in many different ancient ways among different groups of even Israelites have asked the same question. And it's interesting that ones asking similar questions, studying the scrolls, come to the similar answers. Why did Jah reveal the Torah, the directions, instruction, in the desert rather than the Promised Land? This is to indicate that it is available, keyword, available, right, to and for all people. Likewise, Hashem chose a nondescript Mount Sinai as a token of his humility. You know, people tend to think about Mount Sinai because of what the scripture narrates occurred there and think like, oh, it was only a special mountain because Jah had chose that mountain. It's like even we as Bnei Yisrael are only special, right, because Jah has chose us, right, not because of any innate value of our own, right? You know, like we were so special in and of ourselves, but we become special because he chose us, and he chose us because the righteous patriarchs and matriarchs chose his way, truth, and life. So he is faithful to his choice. May we be as well. Many are called. Choose wisely. Choose life. Question 25. Why was Yehuda stationed on the eastern side, east side? Why was Judah stationed on the east side of the tabernacle? You can also ask this question that, well, why was Judah, the tribe of Judah, stationed right in front of the entrance to the tabernacle? As we mentioned even in the previous podcast, when we look at the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the king of kings of Ethiopia, his personal, what he calls personal insignia, his personal arma. Arma in the Amharic is the insignia. You look at that, the throne room, what we call the throne room insignia. It's mystical. The throne room insignia is a view, right, from standing in front of the tabernacle. If you stood in front of the tabernacle and the entrance gate into the court was open and was able to see past the brazen altar, and if the patach, the door to the tabernacle or the tent was open, right, and if the curtain, right, before the Holy of Holies was open, it's the very view that you see on Haile Selassie, the King of Kings, on his personal, the Arma, which is the throne room. And you see at the very front the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And then when you look past the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, you see that the curtains are open. And then you see the throne, symbolic of the Ark of the Covenant. Then you see the two angels, symbolic of the Kirubim, the Kepraim, right? And then you see on the empty throne, you get to see two symbols there. You see a golden pot, like a ball, like the globe, the celestial globe, right? The celestial globe, symbolic of the golden pot of manna. And then you see the rod, the scepter, symbolic of Aaron's rod. Just to point that out right there, the connection of Yehuda, and according to the true Hebrew, consistent Hebrew, Yehuda is the way to say Judah, because Yehuda does not mean Jah praise, as many ones would say. We overzealous right there, a little bit overzealous right there, but it means Yehuda in Hebrew means celebrated, praise. Judah's mother said, Leah said, I will praise Yahuwah because he has given me another son. And therefore, she was looking at having these children to more solidify her relationship with the patriarch Yaakov. So she said, I praise Jah because he has given me this next child. And I will call him Judah Praise. So Judah's name means praise. Judah's name means celebrated, right? In other words, Judah would be in that context like the celebrity, right? The celebrated one, right, of the family. And we can see this even more so in the blessing of the patriarch Yaakov. He says it. And when you read the Hebrew, you get the context. He says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Right, we praise the righteous Elohim, and we praise righteous man. So here, the answer to the question of why was Judah stationed on the east side of the tabernacle? Because it was closest to the entrance, as befits the Melech Yisrael. Why was Judah stationed at the east side of the tabernacle? Because the east side of the tabernacle was the closest to the entrance. It was the very entrance. And this is befitting. This is proper for the Melech Yisrael, for Yisrael Negus, for the king of Israel. Also, the eastern entrances, they face the sun, suggesting the future glory of HaMoshiach. But here's what's very interesting that's often not talked about. When people talk about, look to the east, that is true. But they confuse looking to the east, and people think that they pray to the east. I know this is a belief that different, even so-called Abrahamic faith religions believe that. But let's look at the Hebrews, the first of the so-called Abrahamic faiths, right? And let's look at the tabernacle and the Torah. Note this, we enter into the tabernacle from the east, according to the pattern. But whenever the tabernacle was set up, it was always set up in a east-to-west direction. Entrance in the east, Ark of the Covenant in the west. So if we're in the courtyard of the tabernacle worshiping, right, we are facing, what direction are we facing? We are facing the tent, the tabernacle. If we are priests, if we are Levites, and we are now in, right, the tent, in what Stephen calls the church, The first true church is the tabernacle in the wilderness, is the true church. If we're in the church in the wilderness, we're in the tent itself, right? And we are worshiping. What direction are we facing? We're facing the curtain. We're facing the Ark of the Covenant that's before the curtain. And especially if we are in the Holy of Holies, what direction are we facing? So we began to reason on this and say, wow, no wonder the psalm said that promotion doesn't come from, you know, the east or the west or the south. You know what I mean? You know, promotion don't come from any of these directions, right? But the direction would be that when we are worshiping, right? Remember, the temple also orientated in the same way, that we look to the east because the Messiah will enter into his tabernacle from the east. So in other words, like it's like being in church or being in the service, right? And somebody's coming in. You know, ones will look to the door to see who's coming in, as it were. So in that sense, we look to the east. But when we are worshiping according to the pattern, remember what Moses was told? See that you do all things, that you make all things according to the pattern that was shown to you in the mount. So this kind of idea that we face the sun or something like that. You know, not in worship. You know what I mean? Not in worship, right? And the three times in the year where the sons of Israel are commanded to appear for worship, actually, we didn't really worship like people be thinking, because there's only three times in the year, right? People say, well, didn't we worship in our tent? No, we prayed. We praised. We could pray and praise everywhere. But worship is something distinctive from prayer and praise. Worship is going through these peculiar rites and rituals. And when we are worshiping, right, and we are in the tabernacle, to say in the tent, our back is to the east. And our face is to the west. The Ark of the Covenant is always in the western part of the tabernacle. And we always enter through the eastern part, only one entrance. And at that one entrance is the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of Judah. Question 26, why does the Torah, HaTorah, suggest that we seclude ourselves in the desert, in the Midbar, at all times? Why does the Torah suggest that we seclude ourselves in the, quote, desert, end quote, at times? I said all times, my bad, at times. Once again, why does HaTorah, Jah's direction instruction, suggest that we seclude ourselves in the, quote, desert, end quote, at times, at times? The Hebrew word Midbar, desert, often translated as desert or wilderness, it shares the same root as Dabar. Dabar in the ancient pointing, Afro-Semitic pointing of Hebrew, the word Dabar means word. In modern Hebrew, they'll say it as davar, davar, word. Sometimes we need to be alone, all one, to hear Ha-Elohim, Ha-Elohim, the true good, the true God, the power of powers, the source, speaking. Sometimes we need to be all one, alone, to hear Hashem speaking, the call, demama daka, call, all damama daka. What is that? That's the sound of a still small voice. We find that in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 12. 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 12, the call damama daka, the sound of a still small voice. Yeshua, Robeinu, Einai Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, our Black Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMoshiach, himself spent time Bamidbar in the desert, in the wilderness, as did Yohanan, as John Matabil, the Baptist, did. Question 27, why is a teacher of Torah to be regarded as a, quote, father, end quote, to his students? Why is a Torah teacher to be regarded as a, quote, father, quote, end quote, to his students or to the Talmudim? The teacher who influences you most for Shemayim, for the heavens, right? As it's often said, to say for the kingdom. The teacher who influences you the most for the kingdom of the Shemayim, is indeed a, quote, virtual father, a virtual father. According to the early sages, a teacher, a more is one of the terms, though from our studies, the more was the first instructor of letters, usually, the more, right? But then we have the reb, the rab, right, the rebbe, right, the master, the scholar of Torah. But a teacher, quote, adopts his students and is responsible for them as his own children. And likewise, the children are to esteem him as a spiritual father, because in teaching Torah, one is not on earth. In teaching Torah, that's why so many people get it so twisted, because they're too carnal-minded. In teaching Torah, Torah is not on earth, right? So it's like when it says to Moses, you know, see that you do all things according to the pattern that was shown to you in the heavens, the higher pattern, not the earthly type, but the heavenly type. This is based on how Elisha, so this teaching here is based on the scripts of how Elisha cried to Eliyahu, to Elijah, when he said, Abi, 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 my father, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. Brothers and sisters, there are three more questions, some of the basic questions, because Jano, Friday, you know, the Shabbat is coming strong, 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 and here, getting a good start here in this fourth book right here. Question 28, why was the tribe of Levi not counted with the rest of Yisrael? Why was the tribe of Levi not counted with the rest of Yisrael? Since there would be a decree of death in the desert, the Midbar, upon those who accepted the evil report of the spies, Hael, the Almighty, speared Halloween, the Levites, since they were not part of the spying mission. So this is one answer that is brought out to the question of why was the tribe of Levi not counted with the rest of Yisrael? Because of the decree of Mawet, or some say Mavet, which is Hebrew for death, in the Midbar, the desert, upon those who accepted the evil report. Remember, there was 12 spies. 10 of them brought back an evil report. But note, they brought back an evil report because Jehovah said they slandered the land. They slandered the land. Can you slander land? Well, based on HaTorah, yes, you can. And yes, they did. So the majority, the people listen to the majority. So we get even an exercise of democracy. But sadly, we get a bad example of democracy. See, democracy is not that bad if the majority is righteous. But if the majority is ratchet, well, as the Imperial Master Armand Haile Selassie said, then democracy could be very dangerous, you know, a mistake for some peoples. So here, for the children of Israel in the desert, they happen to listen to the majority, the multitude, the 10 of the 12 spies. Two of the spies brought back a true report, especially Caleb. Caleb said, we can do this now. Those people there are like bread. We can eat them up. Let's go up. Interesting that he says that the people of the land were like bread, because in Hebrew, the word for war is milchama. Milchama, milchama, milchama. And the word for bread is lechem, lechem. So the root word for bread and war in the Hebrew has a lot of interesting correspondence. So the Levites were speared, right, because they were not a part. First of all, they were not a part of the molten calf incident, right? And they were not a part of the spying mission that went wrong. Now, for I and I Rastafari people and fellow Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated members and even friends, right? It's similar to what occurred with the Shashamane land grant, roughly around 1970, right? There's what they call the 12 Rastafari pioneer settlers, some say, right? It's interesting because 10 of them, right, 10 of them, right, brought back a report that discouraged many ones and ones, and only two of them were members of the Ethiopian World Federation, just the 10 and the two. Some people think because the majority of the 10 were either Jamaican Rastafari that basically sealed it up. Therefore, you know, that's the decision. I point this out because if we look at the glory of His Majesty Haile Selassie says, for my part, I glory in the Bible. How ironic and interesting that we even have the incident of the 12 spies. We have the breakdown, 10 versus 2, two of them being black Americans, the two of them also being members and officers in the Federation, and they being outruled. That's the same thing that we got going on in the wilderness. So Levi was not a part of that. Levi was exempt from that. Question 29. This is a Midrash question. Where did the, quote, well of Miriam? There is a tradition, we even find it amongst some of the other Yehudis, Jews, you know, white Jews as well as black Jews. We find it in some of their documents, this idea of the well of Miriam. Even though nowhere directly in the scripture is mentioned the well of Miriam, but this is a Midrash question right here. Where did the well of Miriam settle when Yisrael camped in the Midbar? Where did this well of Miriam, it is said that there was a well that was called Miriam, sister of Moshe and Aharon, well. It is said that it rolled along. Some say that it rolled along with the camp and would finally rest in the courtyard of the tabernacle, where the water would flow out from there. Some say that this tribe, this tradition, it foreshadows the coming temple of Messiah, when water will flow out from its midst. This is interesting. They say that there is the coming temple of the Messiah's temple. And the tradition was that when the Messiah's temple come forward, that there would be water that would flow out from the midst of the temple. Makes a lot of sense why the Israelites of Ethiopia connection. Doesn't make a lot of sense. The headwaters of the Nile, where the water originates from. But last question here, the 30th question right here. All right, the Torah, it states that the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, were to be known by the house of their fathers, not their mothers. If a father, a patriarch, belonged to one tribe and a mother to another, to which tribe would the child belong? Interesting question right here. And lest one think that there is the Bible is sexist. I guess so if you read it like a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant European and you only read his translation. Because even Torah itself, in the Torah, in the scripture, is she. The soul is she. Right? We talk about the Baal Kol, right? The heavenly voice is she. Right? So there is a divine balance. But to the question, the Torah states that the Israelites were to be known by the house, right, of their fathers. In fact, the word family, one of the words for family in Hebrew is the bait, right, or the bat, bait, house, ab, the bait ab, the house of the father equals Hebraically the family. So which tribe, if the father belonged to one tribe and the mother to another? Well, it's the father's tribe, the father's tribe. This custom still holds to this day, even amongst the latter-day Yehudi Torah observant Jews. Of course, you might have heard, well, you're a Jew if your mother's a Jew. There's an important truth to that as well. But as far as which tribe, you see, this Torah portion here, as we begin off the fourth book, is often cited by many One West Israelites and others. They often cite this right here about the pedigree, right? And they are somewhat correct in some aspect of that. But what is concerning the pedigree right here is that those who had land rights were those who were descendant, who could trace their descent directly from the sons of Jacob, Yisrael. So they had land rights. Not everyone owned land in Yisrael. The ones who had title to land in Yisrael were those who could trace their descent from the sons of Jacob, Yisrael. Others could buy land, could rent land, lease land, in that sense, but the title holders of that promised land, right, must be Israelites who can trace their pedigree from the forefathers, and speaking about from the 12 sons, to say the 12 sons of Yaakov, right, the 12 sons of Jacob, and along with the 12 sons of Jacob, this includes the two sons of Joseph, because the patriarch said to Joseph, these two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, they're mine. Any other children you have shall be yours. This is why we said about, isn't it interesting? We have Levi and the 12 tribes. How is that? Well, it's because of the inclusion, right? The inclusion, right, of Ephraim and Manasseh in that sense within the count. So it would be the father's tribe. Also, what we have here in the pedigree and in Numbers chapter 1 is that these who had a right to the land, they had to put in the work, and the work was to fight, right? So part of it is faith without works, right? So part of the work of all these who are being counted. So what really happens here in this fourth book is this, to simplify it. There was a count. Right, everyone was set up as far as, okay, you're the head of these or your tribes, and this is who's going to be the head of this tribe, and these are the number of these ones, and this tribe, that's the number of this tribe, these are the fighting force. But then when they heard the report of the 10 spies that brought back an evil report and had slandered the Etoba, Ethiopia, the good land, Etoba, the good land. I pronounce it like that because I'm bringing out the sense of Tovia, the archaic Hebrew name of Ethiopia before the Greeks spun it in their version. When they slandered the good land, right, the land, that Africanite land, when they slandered the good land, you know what happened? It's the men of Yisrael that punked out. And a large part of what happened there when they wanted to go back to Kemet, go back to Egypt and have a captain, they wanted a captain to lead them back down into Egypt and everything. You know, maybe they were thinking about the house of consciousness or something like that. I don't know. You know, they wanted to get on the broadcast. But they basically showed their cowardice. That's why John says, he says, none of these, right, you know, from 20 years above, right, who have seen all that I have done, right, because he knew what the real reason was. They found any excuse. It's like someone say today, oh, Africa, them Africans will eat you up. They'll put you in the pot like Tarzan. You know what I mean? A lot of this fear and phobia. And that discourages the people. Look at us right here, over here in the West, past 40 years, Haile Selassie I gave that land to we, the black people of the world. Right? And there's been other portions of land given, right? But always what happens? Oh, them Africans, we not African, or this a African, or that a African. I'm just sharing that there as a context, right? So Josh saw through all of that and wanted to destroy them one time. He told Moses, back up. Let me destroy them. Let me break on them. I'll kill them as one man. I'll make a great nation out of you, Moses. Uh-oh, Moses has an Ethiopian wife. Was this Israelite-Ethiopian connection even made earlier than the Queen of Sheba and King Solomon? Well, according to Scripture, it was. So that's what's going on. That's the half of the story that many of the One Westers that also point to Numbers chapter 1. You're an Israelite? There were other ones who were Israelites, but those who had a right, a title to land, and those who had a title to land had to also put in that work, and that work was to fight. And when they heard of the evil report, they used that as an excuse. And John said, all right, all of those ones right there, based on Moses' advocacy, as Moses begged and pleaded, right? He did a very good job, very wise. We need to go over how he was able to choose, right, a few of the attributes that John revealed of himself, right? He basically used John's words in a sense, in a sense, not against Jah, but on behalf of the children of Israel, right? And Jah said, all right, a year for a day, right? But he said that that whole generation, so basically what happened after 40 years is all of those ones who are numbered in the numbering right here, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, Jah let them wander to death, right, in the wilderness, just as he allowed many of our ancestors to wander to death in the wilderness of the Americas and the Caribbean. May he not allow us to wander to death in this wilderness. May he be pleased with I and I and we. So here, the father's tribe. So the custom holds true to this day. A Kohen, a priest, a Levite, and or a rank-and-file Israelite derives from their father's side, though if a non, say, Hebrew or Jewish, Judaic man fathers a child with a Yehudit, a Jewish woman, the child is regarded in that sense as Jewish. Now, people say, well, why is that? You know why that is? I'll put this simple right here because we have to get up into today's daily psalm right here. It's because when you see when we study Torah and you see what those who are Yehudi or Jews and Torah observant, right? You see what they observe, right, in the scripts and what the scripts observe. That, how can I say? Daughters who have good fathers, right? Daughters tend to love their fathers. Right, so if a daughter has a good Hebrew or Israelite or Jewish father, that even though she might marry another man of another nation, she's going to be keen to raise that child, right, to please her father and her people. There's something deep about that, right? There's something very deep about that. It might be a little hard to explain right here, but we do understand, you know, why that is there. Although some would say, no, it's the seed is of the father. Only the father have the seed. That's incorrect. That's incorrect. Simple translation. You love the KJV? Well, go to the KJV chapter 3, right? It doesn't say the seed of the woman. What? Huh? Excuse me? The seed of the woman. So it's not the man only who have the seed. But when it's referring to of what tribe, right, of what tribe one is and what one's rights, you see what I'm saying, what one's rights is covenantally as far as the land. They had, because remember, Jah promised to Abraham, right? He promised to Abraham, right? And then Abraham had a son, Ishmael, and he thought that, oh, Ishmael could get the blessing, and Jah says, not him. I'm going to bless him, but no. You're still going to have a youth with Sarai, right, with Sarah. Right, and lo and behold, they had Yitzhak. Now notice, Yitzhak and Rivka had two children. Right, the firstborn, natural firstborn, was Esau. Right, after that came Yaakov. Right, so it did not go to Esau, but it went to Jacob. And then he renewed the covenant again with Yaakov. Right, even in person, even in the person of the angel of the presence, the angel of the face, the pre-incarnate Yeshua, right? Even in that wrestling, that new name, everything, right? Then we see that the promise now to him is upon his sons. So therefore, the land properly divided would first be divided amongst those 12 sons, right, in fulfilling the word. So there's others who are Israelites, who are part of the Israelite family, right, who are part of the commonwealth. It's like here in America. Who came over to America? Well, it was mainly white Anglo-Saxon Protestant folks. It was mainly English people, right? Or at least they were Protestant people. Even if they was not British or English from England, they were Protestant. So they had a like a term and a condition, right? And if you notice, they didn't bring other people over here besides the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They didn't bring other people over here, other white people from other parts of Europe, until the 20th century to Ellis Island. Many of those groups that came over to Ellis Island, the white folks that came over to Ellis Island, right, with all different sort of religions and everything else like that, all different sort of, you know, white different nationalities. But those people, they did not want over here at the beginning. I'm pointing out something right there, that you have people who are not a part of the original group, but they become nationalized to the group. But when anything that jeopardizes that nation, it falls to those to whom more is given, more is required. Anyway, brothers and sisters, just on that last question right there, you know, we can get into some reasonings, because I know others probably have, you know, other points of view, and hopefully we'll be able to open up the platform, you know, in due time to reason on some of these reasonings, right? Because not everything that I share, I personally agree with the, you know, with them on, but I try to share, like I said, the Well of Miriam. Some of those things are more tried in traditions, but as we study both European Jewish things, Sephardi Jewish things, Ethiopian, Hebrew, Israelite things, you know, the scripture, we can see where even some traditions that are found elsewhere might did not originate even among the European Jews, but what they've done wisely was collect everything, you know, and reason on it amongst themselves. May we do likewise. Yes, I, Rastafari. What Babylon feel like, I and I, Rastafari, Israelite. Was that being heard? Here. Today's daily psalm right here. Some things old, some things new from the treasury right here. For the May 21st here in the season, reasons for the season, psalm for the day coming forward, psalm 103.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
bless these Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie, Jah Rastafari, who liveth and reigneth with I and I continually ever faithful, ever sure. Jah Rastafari, with no apology. And this is the Rastaman Vibration.
Rasta is something from your heart, 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 from your heart.
God bless you. We find your peace are improvable. God bless you for coming to the show tonight. God bless your day.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help, thy saving help, thy saving help, thy saving. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him. God be merciful unto us, and bless us. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah.
Time.
Shabua Tov, referring to the week, or more correctly, like the seven days.
Dear Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
This I pray. Living one day at a time, enjoying every moment, accepting the hardships of peace. I know I'm not saying that I want it, but he who trusts in the Most High, by his death Jah will always abide. Judge your love, it surround me evermore. This my prayer every time I rise. Yeah, Lord, give me serenity to accept the things I can't change, and the courage to change the things I can. Yeah, and if in life on my journey I should stumble and fall, make me wiser than the man I already. Thank you for another day. Thank you for the obstacles they're moving out the way. Thank you for the talent they give me, for open up my mouth and express myself in a different way. Thank you for mama, thanks for dada. Thank you for the blessing where you throw upon my jaw. Jaja, your love is around me evermore. So every day my prayers are for sure. Yeah, Lord, give me serenity to accept the things I can't change, and the courage to change the things I can. Yeah, and if in life on my journey I should stumble and fall, make me wiser than the man I already am. Yeah, yeah. Living one day at a time, enjoying every moment, accepting the hardships of peace. I know I'm not saying that I want it, yeah. But he who trusts in the Most High, by his side Jah will always abide. Jah Jah love, it's around me evermore. This my prayer every time I rise. Yeah, Lord, give me serenity to accept the things I can't change, and the courage to change the things I can. Yeah, and if in life on my journey I should stumble and fall, make me wiser than the man I already am. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks to another day. Thanks to the obstacles you're moving out the way. Thank you for the talent for you give me stuff for open up my mouth and express myself in a different way. Thank you for mama, thanks for dada. Thank you for the blessing that you throw up on me, Jah. Jah Jah, your love, it's around me evermore. So every day my prayers are for sure. Yeah, yeah, Lord, give me serenity to accept that which I can't change, and the courage to change that which I can. On my journey, if I should stumble and fall, make me wiser than the man I already am. Yeah, 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 Lord, give me serenity to accept that which I can change, and the courage to change that which I can. Yeah, yeah, and in life, on my journey, if I should stumble and fall, make me wiser than the man I already am. Yeah, 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 Lord, give me serenity to accept that which I can't change, and the courage to change that which I can. Yeah, in this life, on my journey, if I just stumble.
Shalom, shalom, Chavarim, shalom. Be well.